16 years. Now, if you think about that for just a minute, at minimum, that's 800 hours. Now, if you think of an evangelistic series where you have maybe 2 hours every night, the same people coming for 400 nights, you can see the potential as the longest evangelistic event. But it isn't just 800 hours. It can go up to 37,000 hours of contact with these children and youth. In terms of size, if you look at it in terms of evangelistic terminology, we have 5,000, almost 6,000 sites for the evangelism of children, where 55,000 evangelists are working every day, and those attending are more than 1 million. In terms of adolescents, about 2,400 sites, 36,000 evangelists, and over 500,000 attending each day. And in terms of youth and young adults, 167 sites, 15,000 evangelists, and over 150,000. Now, if you put that all together, we're looking at simultaneously 8,500 evangelistic sites, 106,000 evangelists, and nearly 2 million attending every day. It is the largest evangelistic effort of our church. And so we can say with confidence that Seventh-day Adventist education is in fact the longest and largest evangelistic event. But is it effective? That's the key question. And so to answer that question, we'd like to look, first of all, at some stats. Baptisms in the last 10 years that have resulted directly from Seventh-day Adventist education. Now, this does not count those who go to Seventh-day Adventist schools but are baptized at youth camps and other events during perhaps those vacation periods. This is as a direct result of Seventh-day Adventist education, for example, week of prayer at the school. These are the numbers. Last 10 years for which we have the data. Now, if you add that up, that's 458,000 baptisms over the last 10 years. That's nearly 500,000 people as a direct result of Seventh-day Adventist education. I think this is one of the best-kept secrets of evangelism in the church. And now, if you think about this, these numbers represent establishing a totally brand new conference every year, starting from zero, and suddenly you have about 50,000 people. So, in terms of baptisms, it's very effective. There have been a couple of studies that have actually looked at joining the church, and I'll just mention these briefly. There was a study of 844 families in the Southern Union in the United States. And it looked at the children of these families, those children who, entering adult life, had had either no Adventist education, 1 or more years of Adventist education, or 11 or more years of Adventist education. In other words, basically all the way from elementary through the end of high school. And the question was, from Adventist families, what proportion were baptized at some point, and those who were never baptized, and these are the results. Those who never attended Adventist education, about 60% were baptized. 40% were never baptized. Remember, these are children from Adventist families. Those with 1 or more years, and those with 11 or more years. Now you look at that, and you compare, for example, the percentage that was never baptized compared to that with no Adventist education. It's 13 times more likely, if they don't attend Adventist education, that they will never join the Adventist church. That's huge. 13 times more likely. Another study looked at the Lake Union, 807 families, Adventist families. Again, no Adventist education, some Adventist education, or the entire 12 grades, from first grade up through the end of high school. And those who joined, you can see quite similar statistics in a totally different union location, some Adventist education, and the 12 grades in this particular sample, all of those who attended the 12 grades had been baptized from the Adventist families. Again, very impressive in terms of joining the church. But that's only part of the question. Oh, by the way, if you want to look at it a little differently from the same study, those who were never baptized on average had 2.4 years. Those who had been baptized had 8 years in Adventist schools. So again, you're seeing a very impressive difference in terms of number of years of whether they joined. So maybe this is why Ellen White wrote, the work of education and the work of redemption are one. Accession, though, is only part. We want them to stay. And so now we're going to look at the fact that Adventist education as mission, and by the way, I think we need to reaffirm the central role of Adventist education in the evangelistic mission of the church. It's clearly evangelistic. It's effective. And we need to reaffirm that. But now we're going to look at the retention, which is the other important piece. Do they stay? Now remember, many of those who don't go to Adventist schools never even join. But of those who go from Adventist families, do they stay? We definitely have a problem with members who leave. You see some of the statistics already. For example, since 1965, we've had about 34 million accessions. 20 million have stayed. About 13.7 million have left. That means a net loss rate of about 40%. Out of every 6, out of every 10, 6 stay and 4 have walked away. That's tragic. And the statistics are not getting better. In fact, if we close it, instead of 1965, if we move up to year 2000, the period 2000 to 2012, it was about 43%. So we're actually, the statistics are getting worse in terms of retention. Now this is overall the church population. If we look at young people, what are we seeing? There was a study regarding young people who leave. It was a landmark study called the Youth Retention Study, conducted a few years ago, and it tracked 1,500 young people from the church who had been baptized, age 15, 16. By the way, that group was representative of all Adventist youth. There were large and small churches, small towns, big cities, those who had gone to public schools and Adventist schools, all ethnic groups. So it was a very, very diverse population. They were interviewed every year for the next 10 years. So there was this follow-up, some longitudinal study. And the question was, how many left the church by age 25, 26, at the end of those 10 years? And the results showed that for almost all demographics, that number was approaching 50%. In some cases, it was beyond 50%. So for young people, even in just 10 years, the statistic is even worse than of the general population. And the youth who leave are not just then one lost coin. Remember Jesus' parable? He talked about one lost coin and how we went to all this effort to find one. Tragically, we're losing half of the coins. That's tragic. So the question is, does Adventist education make a difference? And we'd like to look at that question in the context of Jeremiah 13, 12. The prophet Jeremiah asks us a very poignant question. He says, where is the flock that was entrusted to you, that beautiful flock? And I think that as church leaders, this is a question that we must face. It's a question that's relevant. Where's the beautiful flock that was entrusted to you? There have been 7 studies that have looked at retention and its relationship, young people's retention in the church, and its relationship with Seventh-day Adventist education. These 7 studies span 3 decades. And 3 of the studies have actually been conducted since 2010. So we've got a look across time. Here are the 7 studies. 2 of those were multi-year, very large multi-year longitudinal studies early on that have been replicated, at least one of them more recently. There were three dissertations which looked at this question, one of which was a longitudinal study. And more recently, there have been two global studies that have looked at the church worldwide. The first five were primarily in North America, but these last two were global, and one of them was a qualitative study. I mean, with interviews and direct interaction. I thought you'd be interested if we look very briefly at each of the studies and what does it tell us about retention. And then Dr. Beardsley is going to take it from there in terms of, so what should we do? What can we do as some of the advocates? Value Genesis study was the very first one. It drew on data from 2,267 12th grade Adventist students in Adventist schools that showed, and it found, that the more years they have been in an Adventist school, the greater was that individual's denominational loyalty, Adventist orthodoxy, and intention to remain an Adventist at age 40. So that's impressive. That's what we want. And this is what those young people saw themselves. The more years they've been in Adventist school, the more likely they would see themselves in these categories. Value Genesis has been replicated at 10-year intervals. The most recent was Value Genesis 3 in 2010. And the factors in this most recent study that develop religious faith, the one at the very top, more powerful than any other factor, is attending an Adventist school. In fact, 81% of all students in that study said attending an Adventist school is the most important thing that has helped me develop my religious faith. That's huge. Very powerful. The second study is the youth retention study. This is conducted originally by Dudley with subsequent analysis by Thayer. It was a 10-year study of young people, 1,523. We looked at that briefly a moment ago in terms of accession. And the key finding was the number of years in an Adventist school was positively related with commitment to Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost what we want to see. Second, my relationship with Christ is stronger now than it was before. And religion is an important part of my life. So the more years they attended the Adventist school, the more strongly, the higher the proportion who would say commitment to Jesus Christ, relationship, and religion is important in my life. And also, they were involved in personal Bible study, which nurtures that ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. The third study was the Emerson study. This is the one we mentioned just a moment ago in terms of joining the church. It was children of Southern Union families that looked at no Adventist education 1 year or more. But it also looked at something very interesting, which is church attendance. Those who have regular church attendance and those who had infrequent or no church attendance. And it discovered that with no Adventist education, now as young adults, only about 60% had regular church attendance. Now remember, that's those who were baptized. Remember, we already lost about 40% who never joined the church. But of those who were baptized, about 60% had continued to attend. One or more years, about 80%. And 11 or more years, 90% of those who have been baptized were attending church on a regular basis. Now, you look at that, and that's 4.5 times more likely to have infrequent or no church attendance from those who have been baptized. No Adventist education versus 11 years or more of Adventist education. And the reason this is important is because when people become inactive, it's the beginning of leaving. So this is a particularly significant finding from that study. There was a study by Robert Rice in Southern California. It was a 13-year longitudinal study. and it only looked at children from Adventist families who graduated either from a public school or not, I should say non-Adventist school, or from an Adventist academy. So again, these are graduates. It doesn't mean how many years they attended. It just means at that point of graduation, were they in an Adventist school or not? And then it looked at those who were baptized and attending. They had become a member, they were simply not attending, they were no longer a member, or they just had never been baptized. Here are the statistics. 37% of those graduates from public high schools, by the way, from Adventist families, all these are from Adventist families, 37% were baptized and attending as young adults at the end of the 13-year longitudinal study. That means from the point of graduation, they followed them for the next 13 years. 38% were no longer a member, and of those, 80% had never been baptized. Of those in the Adventist Academy graduates, 77% have been baptized and were still attending 13 years later. 5% have become baptized, were no longer attending, 13% were no longer a member, and 6% were never baptized. Now you look at that, 2 times more likely to stay in the church. In other words, they had been baptized, and 13 years later, they were still attending. Again, that's impressive. By the way, this study found some other interesting things. By the way, you can see the percentages of the other two groups there. This study found a couple of other things that will be of particular interest to church leaders. Do they pay tithe? Now, these are the ones that attend, that are still members of the church. It does not count those who left, those who attend the church. 26% of the public high school graduates pay tithe. Very close to 50% of those Adventist graduates pay tithe. You look at that, 2 times more likely to pay tithe. Financially for the church, that's a tremendous difference. Another interesting thing this study found was, would they marry an Adventist? Did they marry an Adventist? And so we'll take a look at that. Those who graduated from a public high school from Adventist families, remember these are from Adventist families, and those who graduated from Adventist Academy. Public high school, only 27% married an Adventist. Those who graduated from an Adventist Academy, 78% married an Adventist. That's a remarkable difference between the groups. 3 times more likely to marry a Seventh-day Adventist. We move now to the Minder study, one of the Lake Union families. And remember, we had looked at it in terms of joining. Did they join or did they never join? In other words, never baptized. But now we're going to break it out. Those who joined and remained and joined and left. So no Adventist education, 50% joined and remained, 10% joined and left, 38% never joined. Some Adventist, 78%, 16, and about 5, 12 grades, 98% joined and remained, about 2% joined and left, and as we had seen earlier, none of those in this particular sample never joined if they had attended all 12 years. Again, these are very, very significant differences in these groups in terms of those who have joined and remained. Okay, we have the last 2 studies. These are global studies, both of them quite recent studies. The first one was a study conducted by Dr. Richardson at the Center for Creative Ministry. It was a global study, 925 in the year 2013, and it took a look at the difference between those who are lapsed members or ex-members and those who are current members in terms of Adventist education, had they participated at all in some type of Adventist education, and those who had only other education. And you can see lapsed or ex-members, only 17% had some type of Adventist education. Whereas in current members, about 56% had Adventist education. Again, this is a very large difference between the 2 groups. In other words, 3 times more likely to have attended Adventist education amongst current members compared to ex-members. And the final study that we'll look at is a study conducted by our very own ASTR, Archives, Statistics, and Research here at the General Conference, a study in 2014 of 9 divisions. And it looked at those who had attended, and this is only Adventist education or primarily other types of education. And it looked at those who had attended elementary or primary school, secondary, Adventist high school, or college, university. So here we go. Ex-members, primary, elementary, and those who remained in the church, those who were current members. Ex-members having attended high school, and those who have attended college, likewise. Okay? Now, you look at this, and you notice something very interesting. You look at these two numbers, and you'll notice they're about twice as high. Attendance at Adventist schools is twice as high for current members compared to ex-members at the university level. That means they've attended university. For those who have attended up to high school, it's about 2.5 if you compare this number with that. And for those who had attended elementary, it was about 3 times. So amongst the current church members, attendance at Adventist schools is at least twice as high. But going down to those who attended elementary, it's 3 times, which suggests that the most powerful influence, while all have some relationship, the strongest relationship is the early education, which makes sense according to Ellen White says. Earlier years have the most powerful impact in determining the direction of the life. So, the question, are the accession and retention of children and youth in the church associated with their participation in Adventist education? And the answer is?
Yes.
And it's a resounding yes. It's a consistent and it's a very persuasive relationship, a very powerful relationship. Well, you've seen the statistics, you've seen the research. And so, in conclusion, to my part, I'd just like to mention a verse of scripture. Train up a child in the way he or she should go. You see, in Adventist education, children and youth experience accession, retention, for the purpose of redemption. That's why Ellen White wrote, in the highest sense, the work of education and the work of redemption are one.
Amen.
And now I turn to Dr. Beardsley Hardy.
Thank you. So you had just seen the data that show that those students who attend an Adventist school are more likely to become a Seventh-day Adventist, to make that commitment. They're more likely to remain Seventh-day Adventists. They're more likely to marry a Seventh-day Adventist. They're more likely to support the church financially through their tithes. We also saw that the most impactful aspect or level of education is what?
Elementary,
the primary years. So if we as a church put our efforts anywhere, that's where we need to expand our efforts, is at the primary level. So if Adventist education is so effective, and you see that it is from studies in NAD, from global studies, from quantitative data, from qualitative data, then what are the biggest barriers to Adventist education achieving its full potential? We will look at 3 of those barriers. At starting with, okay, let's see which one.
It's the one with the little raise button.
It's which one? The raise button. There we go. I'm going backwards.
It's the one with the little.
The little button? The little knobby thing?
Yes.
Yes. I'm trying that. I might have locked
it.
Okay. There are barriers to the redemptive purpose of Adventist education. Yes, I don't know if I should be just holding it or pointing it at that way.
No.
Hold it.
Just that.
Thank you. There are 3 that we will review in this section. I guess I have to be a little bit more patient. I've turned it off. Thank you.
Let's just press it down.
There we go. Barrier number 1. Thank you. Many children and youth from Seventh-day Adventist homes are not attending our school. And we will look at the data by level, elementary, primary, secondary, tertiary, and no Adventist education. This is ASTR data 2014, representing 9 divisions. And it shows that, bring this whole slide up here, over half of global church members are reporting no experience with Seventh-day Adventist education. With primary, 17%, secondary, 17%, tertiary, 12%, 52, almost 53% saying no Seventh-day Adventist education at all. This is the proportion with no Seventh-day Adventist education by division. So you can see that NAD is doing the best here with only 29% reporting no. And do we have SID represented here? I think we do, yes. So SID having the highest. And that in part is because a lot of evangelistic effort bringing individuals into the church. So it's a newer church there, but that also represents a challenge of where we want to ensure that these who have come in, their families and their children have come in, will become baptized, will be retained, will support the church, will marry Adventists. Adventist education, especially primary education, is a great opportunity for growth. And you see the other divisions there as well. All our youth, Ellen White, should be permitted to have the blessings and privileges of an education at our schools, that they may be inspired to become laborers together with God. So to dismantle barrier number one, which is that not enough of our children, our own schools, pastors and other church leaders need to proactively share with parents the positive and consistent relationship between Adventist education and the proportion of children and youth joining and remaining the church. This presentation you can download from our website. When you go to a church, or you go to a conference, or speaking to pastors, please use this presentation. It's put forward in a way that you don't need to have read all the dissertation to self. It's clear, the references are there.
Is that
you go to education.adventist.org, education.adventist.org, resources. You'll see many resources there, but this is one of those, and the presentation will take about 40 minutes, as you've done here. You can invite your education director to join you in that, for some of you are not in education, or even ask one of your pastors to present that, because the pastors are key. They're the gatekeepers to Adventist education. So pastors and other church leaders need to share with parents these findings that you have just seen here. Further, church leaders need to establish initiatives in partnership with local fields and congregations to boost the availability of Adventist education to Seventh-day Adventist children and youth, starting at the primary level. This is where we can have the greatest impact. And educational institutions need to create viable avenues by which Adventist students of limited means may obtain a Seventh-day Adventist education. Somebody remarked to me that we have set up a fee-for-service model of education in the Seventh-day Adventist system. And that's an issue. We need to address the financial barriers to Adventist education, and schools and the administration needs to identify means by which they can do that. Barrier number two, many teachers and Adventist schools are not members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is the global data. 71% globally are Adventist, but 28% are not Seventh-day Adventist. And you'll see the data here by level, elementary, secondary, worker training programs, and tertiary level. So that's a concern, because an Adventist school is not a building. It's not its historical background. It's who is in the classroom with the students day in and day out. This is data from a global survey. The proportion of Adventist teachers is declining. Let's see if I can go back here, maybe not.
The one above it.
There we go. The proportion of Adventist teachers is declining at every level, and this is in part because of the growth in our universities that requires expertise in many levels, but even at the primary level, we are increasing employment of others. When we bring non-Adventists into our employment, it is our duty to orient them to the redemptive purpose of Adventist education, to study with them, and to help them grow spiritually, to support the mission, and baptize them, if by any means we can do that. And that does happen too. The next is the mission of the church is evangelism. We've talked about that. That's the mission of the church. And Adventist education is part of fulfilling that mission. But in order to do that, it is vital, it is effective that the evangelist must first be a believer. You saw Dr. Taylor's presentation of our evangelistic campaign, and we didn't say teachers, we said evangelists. The evangelists, the teachers in the classroom have to be themselves converted and a believer in order to be effective. In all our churches, writes Ellen White, there should be schools and teachers in these schools who are missionaries. That is, people who fulfill the mission. I love Ellen White's quote where she said that that teachers need to love children and see them, love children as Christ loves them and see in them souls to be saved for the kingdom. That's how they have to see them. Love them for Christ, see them as souls to be saved for the kingdom. They need to be individuals who fulfill the evangelistic mission of the church. She writes, if the instructors have a religious experience themselves, they will be able to communicate to their students the knowledge of the love of God that they have received. These lessons can only be given by those who themselves are truly converted. So dismantling barrier number two, church leaders at all levels need to establish and regularly assess specific objectives with corresponding key performance indicators for educational systems and schools within their territory to progressively increase the proportion of Seventh-day Adventist teachers in Adventist schools. And church leaders in collaboration with Adventist colleges and universities should establish and strengthen teacher training programs, potentially to include special subsidies for training as elementary and secondary teachers. I am so pleased when we had our IBE meeting last Tuesday, Zalowski has started a teacher training program because the ESD has undertaken evangelism through education. They've established 10 new schools. They have a very aggressive plan.
Every year.
For 10 new schools every year for a total of 50 new schools. They have even remodeled, I think it was two conference offices into schools.
And one union building.
And they have now opened a teacher training program because they're recognizing these former Soviet countries in some of the Stan countries and Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and Tajikistan and even Afghanistan. Schools are a way that we can reach the community. In Afghanistan, working there with girls' schools, recognizing and being culturally sensitive. Leaders of Adventist institutions of higher education need to develop and implement strategic plans in order to acquire or prepare Adventist educators in each academic area offered. So for instance, Loma Linda University, I commend this for this, have put aside about $2 million to upgrade faculty because they recognize that even though Adventists live a long time, they need to replace and prepare younger faculty to take the ranks, and they need them to be Seventh-day Adventists to carry out their mission. They've also established a new scholarship program for medical students who, after their first year of medicine, show aptitude in academic medicine, that they will get a free scholarship for years 2, 3, and 4 in order to prepare them, and that's over $50,000 a year, because they recognize they need to prepare the pipeline already now. All schools need to identify ways to increase the number of Seventh-day Adventists by investing in it already now. Barrier number three, many pastors who are the gatekeepers are not aware of the evangelistic role of Adventist education, nor perhaps convinced of its efficacy. And this is why we say that. Look at global survey data about pastors' beliefs. The statement was, members who have not experienced Adventist education and their likelihood of leaving the church. Is someone more likely to leave the church if they experience Adventist education or not? And this is what pastors said. if someone has not experienced Adventist education, 60% of pastors said they're more likely to leave. This is the shocking number. 40% of pastors said it makes no difference whether someone has gone to an Adventist school or not. 4 out of 10 pastors think it does not make a difference. And that's because they're not aware of these studies. And because of another somewhat disturbing finding, and that is the number of years that pastors themselves have experienced Adventist education. This was a sample of over 4,000 around the world in 2013. And in that sample, only 14% of pastors had more than 13 years of Seventh-day Adventist education. Now, their seminary training alone would be at least 4 years of training. 16% had 9 to 12 years of Adventist education. 36% had 5 to 8 years of Adventist education, so some of that is their seminary education. 26% had 1 to 4 years, well, that certainly would be their seminary training. And 8% of Seventh-day Adventist pastors had no Adventist education at all. So these are those who are coming from other denominations or coming out of some other area, accounting or somewhere else, and become pastors and feel called later in life. So they have not personally experienced the power and the blessing of Seventh-day Adventist education. Only about 14% of pastors have completed all of their education in Adventist institutions. 1 in 3 pastors have had fewer than 5 years exposure to Adventist education. Adventist seminaries and schools of religion should incorporate required courses in the Ministry of Christian Education in the programs of study for all students specializing in pastoral ministry, religion, and theology. The Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary at Andrews University has done just this. And they have an internship. Dr. Doss might even be able to tell us more about that. They have an internship or an experience in a Seventh-day Adventist primary or secondary school so that they see what happens there and how the pastor should relate to it.
I'm aware of it, but I can't add too many details.
Dr. Cheryl Doss said there was a faculty member hired just to promote and support this area. It has also been added as a competency in the International Board of Ministerial and Theological Education. Ministerial and educational leaders need to emphasize through publications and meetings of Adventist pastors the evangelistic effectiveness of Seventh-day Adventist education, especially in terms of accession and retention. Ministry invited us to do a special issue on Adventist education 2 years ago, and that was wonderful, and they've invited us to do another one. And pastors are key, so wherever you have an influence, please make pastors aware of this powerful means of baptism and retention of young people and our youth. So the conclusion here, I'm able to get to that, there we go. All your children shall be taught by God. This is from Scripture, and great shall be the peace of your children. Taught by God, this is the purpose of Adventist education. Thank you, and we'll welcome any comment or question.
Thank you very much. Indeed, this is very good. We have time for comments. Thank you very much. We have 10 minutes for comments, so we have the time that we need for any comments.
Yes, two very relevant and powerful presentations. I need the website for that, the one link pastors.
Education.adventist.org.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then you go to resources. You'll see the links, the resources, and there are many PowerPoints. I believe this one is called Accession and Retention.
Joining and Remaining.
Joining and Remaining.
You can download it.
And then the website that is going to be created out after this,
we'll have this.
We also have this. So you can also access it from there.
So yes, we encourage you to present this.
Thank you.
Let me offer an anecdote to support the data. I was recently teaching here in North American Division a group of serving pastors who are earning their MA degrees. And in that group, there was a significant resistance to Adventist education. I was shocked. You know, it was like a fundamental belief all the years I've been growing up. And I found myself being an advocate, that's not my subject, but as from the teaching missions perspective, and I'm going to increase that a little section on education in my mission teaching, because they look at it as a hassle to pastors to have to deal with troublesome teachers and to balance the budget of the church school. It seems like nothing but a burden.
You know, that should probably be an article in the in that next issue of ministry, on it being a hassle, and sometimes schools make it a hassle.
Yeah.
They disregard the church events. They schedule events at the same time that the church is scheduling something, so they pull people away. They themselves don't recognize that they're part of the life of that local church, and they need to work together.
And it comes the other way too. The pastor can see himself in another orbit and not really engage with the school.
Yeah, and since we are talking about tension, this becomes very important, because the issues that we are talking about down there, they also affect education. They are also part of what you are mentioning right here. Yes?
I'm thrilled with what you presented, both of you. This is fantastic. And in no way to diminish the impact of what you're saying, what about the more than 50% who are not attending schools? Now, I understand that you proposed here three different ways barriers to be broken and how we can do that. But in one sense, the reality of the church is that the number of potential young people who can belong, who should be attending our Adventist schools is growing because of our evangelistic success in other areas.
Yes, I do.
And so what is being done to address that cohort of youth?
Well, Dr. Taylor can respond, and I'll also have a comment. Let me just take SID as an example. Some of you know our colleague, Dr. John Fowler. He used to have a saying. He said, at the end of every bad road is an Adventist school. We have schools in some of the most remote places, and we have churches in remote places. We followed Ellen White's counsel, where there are six children or more to start a church school. Let us use our churches first for those small schools. And for those earliest years, grade 1, 2, 3, that could be done in our own church school. I think that's the place to start, not build a school immediately. Let's use the churches that we have here. I know that Elder Wana can speak to this too, because I've heard him speak to that, but that's where I would start. Let's start with what we already have, our churches in those remote places, because we don't want families sending their 7, 8-year-old children far to the city or some other place in a boarding capacity. They should live at home, and it should be close to them. So Dr. Taylor, I think Dr. Juana would like to speak to it.
I think that, first of all, thank you, Pastor, for mentioning those who are not in Adventist education. They're part of that beautiful flock.
Sure.
And the church has been very concerned, as you know, and established Public Campus Ministries, PCM, as an entity to especially connect with those who are in secular institutions, maybe public universities and others. And as the Department of Education, we partner closely with PCM and youth ministries, particularly with Dialogue, which is a journal, a faith-affirming journal that speaks to the intellect on topics that engage them from the Seventh-day Adventist perspective, you know, science and the Bible, the relationships, and various topics that are often controversial, where we put out 3 times a year in 4 languages.
5,
yes, includes Italian now. The journal Dialogue as a partnership, but spearheaded or initiated by, coordinated by the Education Department. Dr. Lisa Beardsley is the editor-in-chief of that journal. Dr. Hudson Chibuka is also one of the editors. So that's one of the things we try to do to connect with them I think there are probably some other things that we could think about, brainstorm, and begin to implement as well.